We're going to sing this morning, The Family of God. Why don't you stand together as we sing it? Probably don't need a hymnal, but it's 393 if you do. The Family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined as with Jesus as we travel this on. For I'm part of the family of... Let's sing it together again. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family, the family of God. Come on ahead, ushers, if you would. We're going to receive the offering. Aren't you glad you're part of the family of God? Aren't you glad that you don't have any in the terrible twos anymore? But hey, it's fun, isn't it? Let's continue that this morning by singing His Name is Wonderful. Let's stand together if you would. His name is wonderful, Jesus wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages, Almighty God. Just our voices, though. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him, His name.
Thank you very much. Nancy and choir, thank you. And instrumentalists, thank you so much. And to the families who participated in the baby dedication, thank you. What a great blessing for a church to be engaged in that type of thing with young families. Turning your Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Get your listening sheet out, if you will, please. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, this section in Deuteronomy, Moses is bringing his long farewell message to a close. He gives a personal challenge to the children of Israel to be obedient. He has reviewed what the Lord did for and said to Israel and the terms of the covenant. So he has gone through all of that as he has gathered the children of Israel together. Now he will explain the benefits of obeying the Lord and the disciplines that will come from disobedience. How many of you in your lifetime, either as you were growing up or maybe now, realize that there are benefits to obedience and there are disciplines to disobedience? You with me? And that's what he's saying here and expounding to the children of Israel. Now, these same principles apply to America today. We need to read and heed the words and warnings related within God's Word. We have minds to think with. We have hearts to feel with. And we have a will to decide with. And God calls us to make right choices and right decisions, no matter who you are and no matter what your circumstance of life might be. We're exactly where the children of Israel were to decide either to obey or to disobey. That's where we are as a nation. I'm confident of that, folks, that we need to decide. We're either going to obey and follow God, or we're going to disobey and turn our backs upon God. And it behooves each of us individually, and as families, and as a church, to lead out in that, in choosing to obey. And we need to hear God's word, we need to know God's will, and we need to follow God's way. Now, you may or may not be aware of the fact that today is the Sanctity of Life Sunday. It's near the anniversary date of the infamous and devastating Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade that took place in 1973. The legalizing of abortion. I know that I said to you last week by way of our Facebook live feed that I was actually beginning a series about the subject of faith. I also mentioned to you last week that I was taking even though I was beginning it last Sunday on Facebook Live, that we would be going for the next several weeks with one exception. Well, welcome to the exception. That's today, because we had planned and wanted to deliberately focus upon the Sanctity of Life Sunday. And I don't mind telling you, I think it's a tremendous honor of what these parents did this morning and what we as a church did this morning in having this time of child and children dedication and parental dedication. Probably could not have happened on a better Sunday than on the Sanctity of Life Sunday. Give God praise for that. Now, look at these two verses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and let's apply them to this subject of abortion. They're very applicable to your daily decisions in the totality of life. But this morning, I want us to apply these verses to that perspective of where we are as a nation since 1973. All right, here we are in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Say those two words with me, please. Choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey His voice, and that you may cleave to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Verses 19 and 20 of Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now let me show you four things about choosing life. Get your listening sheet out with a pen or pencil. And here's number one, the view of life. The view of life. Now, after the holidays, when school started back up, the first grade teacher said to one of her pupils by the name of Alan, she said, "Alan, I heard you got a new baby sister just last week. Do you like her? And Alan looked at the teacher and said, oh, she's okay, but there are a lot of things we needed more. You know, such is the view of life, huh? It depends on your particular vantage point. Now, Moses makes it clear that making the right decisions of life really should not be that difficult. Go back just a few verses earlier and look at verses 11 through 14. For this commandment which I command you this day, it's not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, well, who will go up to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you would say, well, who should go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? He's saying, you know, it's not hard to see God's leadership and God's direction. It's not hard to see God's blessing and God's directives in our lives. You don't have to send someone to heaven and say, try to find out from God, if you could, what we ought to be doing. Or maybe way over the sea. Once you get in some seafaring vessel and go over the sea and find out exactly what we need to be doing. No. He said, it's not hard to find out. Now look at the next verse, verse 14. But the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. So what's Moses saying to us? He's saying, you want to know God's word? You want to know God's blessings? You want to know God's leadership and God's directive in your life? It's not hard to find. He says, it's really in your heart. And you can speak it forth out of your mouth. And if you stop to think about that, isn't that our daily routines of life, my friend? If you're facing a decision that needs to be made, how does it play out in your heart? A Christian believer, how does it play out in your heart? Christian, I'm saying, how does it play out in your heart? You know, most of us know God's will, if we'll admit it. So how's it playing out in your heart? And then he said, you speak it forth in your mouth. Because isn't that the way we function? Isn't that the way we operate? And how many times have we said with our mouth, well, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I'm going to do this. Isn't that the routine of life on a day-by-day basis? And he says, it's not hard to find, because he says it right there in verses 11 through 14. Now, here are some factors that ought to influence your view of life. I've got them up here on the screen, and there's six or seven of them. So let's just look at these. Factors to influence your view of life. Do you understand that God has created life? Do you understand that? God is the one that has created life. All right, here's the next one. Do you understand that God loves you and wants to bless you with a good life? Do you understand that? Before I go any further, let me just tell you what you're reading on the screen, my friend. You know where I got these things? Right here. I'm giving you some basic factors of life right here. All right, here's the next one. Do you understand that God offers you the hope of everlasting life in heaven? That's not a bad deal, is it? Do you understand that to obey God's principles, statutes, that should say statutes, and commandments brings God's favor. Do you understand that? And then finally, do you understand that to disobey God's principles, statutes, and commandments positions you for God's judgments? Now, why is this? Because God's a holy God. And God wants His children to be like Him. Kent, thanks for doing that song a while ago. What a wonderful song, and what very appropriate for the child and baby dedication today. But what very appropriate for this message today. Do you understand that God wants you to be just like Him? And so to obey, He's going to help you do that. To disobey, there are repercussions to that because it brings God's judgment. Now, Moses states these principles concisely. Look at verses 15 to 18. I think I've got them on PowerPoint here. See, I have set before you this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land whither you go to possess it. But if your heart turns away, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, look at this. I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely, what? Perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether you pass over Jordan to go to possess it. Pretty clear cut, pretty black and white, and that's what he's saying. Your view of life matters, my friend, and it purely comes down to whether or not you're going to focus your view upon God and upon God's Word and upon God's direction and His will and His Word for your life. Your view of life matters. You're going to choose life, or you're going to choose death. That's it. All right, here's the second thing, and that is the value of life. The value of life. Your view of life will determine your value of life. Your view of life will determine your value of life. Now, let me give you some modern day examples of this. Your value, your view of life will determine your value of life. Well, how does America place value on life today in the 21st century? How do we do that? Well, let's start with mass shootings. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was putting this sermon together, I started out saying, okay, well, here's this and here's this. Start with Columbine, and then the list got so long, I just finally brought it down to a statement, and here's the statement. Now, did you hear what I just said? The list got so long. That's a tragic indictment against America, my friend. What just came out of my mouth. Listen, here's the statement. The number of mass killings in the United States set a brand new record in 2019. Just last year. Because I thought, well, I'll just start naming off some of these, starting with Columbine. But the list got so long, I just brought it down to what I just got through telling you. How about serial killings? Serial killings. I'm talking about the value of life. Stay with me here. I'm talking about the value of life. How about serial killings that we've read about and we know about? How about rapists? We're talking about the value of life. How about human sex trafficking? Oh, yeah, I've read about that, man alive, in those, some of these foreign countries. Man, that's, wow, tragic, isn't it? Now, listen to this. Listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And according to our own State Department, the United States is ranked number one in the entire world in sex trafficking. God help us. How about child abductions? Man, this has become so rampant that almost daily, now listen to this, again, because of technology, almost daily, we are called upon to share information on Facebook about some child abduction. Are you with me? You familiar with that exercise that we're put to sometimes almost daily? We're talking about the value of life. How about domestic violence? We're talking about the value of life. How about suicide? Oh, wow. The number of Americans that are killing themselves has reached an all-time record high. An all-time record high. The suicide rate for young people in the United States rose 56% in just one recent 10-year period. And the suicide rate for the overall population increased by 41% between 1999 and 2016. That was the latest documented information I found. It's a spiritual problem, folks. It's a spiritual problem because we do not have a biblical world view. Your view of life will determine the value of life. Our culture has no appreciation and respect for life because we have denied and rejected the absolutes of the Bible. And just as it says, as in the days of the judges, I think I've got this on here. Everyone, look at that. Everyone did that which was right. Where? Is that not the picture of our culture today? Everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. Now, here's something. What is the common denominator regarding these species of animals? Catch this. The jaguar. I'm not talking about your vehicle now. I'm talking about animals. All right? The jaguar. The killer whale. The panda. The Chinese salamander, the dodo bird, the white-beaked woodpecker, the Javan rhino, and the lemur. What's the common denominator of all of these? Well, here it is. You can't legally kill them because they are endangered species. Yeah. But let me see the next thing you got there. Ah. But the unborn baby you can legally kill. Let me give you the third thing today. Not only the view of life, the value of life, but number three, the violation of life. the violation of life. Listen, if you don't value life, we're going to violate life. If we don't value life, we will violate life. We will violate our own life. We'll violate the lives of others. Now, over the next few moments, I'm getting ready to say some things that are very blunt about abortion. But I'll be honest with you. These things, in my opinion, have been needed to be said for 47 years now. Abortion is wrong. It is wrong. There is nothing right about it. I don't care if it is legal. It is wrong. It is an abomination to God. It is the murder of an innocent, unborn child. It has been glamorized as pro-choice, when in reality, it is pro-death. Now, I've got a slide I want you to see, and I think it might be the one right before that. Yes, look at that. My body, my choice. The feminists march under that banner today, don't they? Well, look at the picture beside it. My body, no choice. Choice kills those without a choice. Everybody following this? Abortion does not make you unpregnant. It makes you the mother or father of a dead baby. Pro-choice is a lie because babies do not choose to die. Unfortunately, some babies die by chance, and that is drastically unfortunate. And I've stood with moms and dads and held those babies, my friend, and it's not a happy moment. But no baby should die by choice. None. Abortion is antithetical to all that God is. Abortion is wrong, and let's go to that next slide, which we had up there. All right, now look at these things. Abortion is wrong biblically, morally, ethically, socially, spiritually, economically, and psychologically. Pretty interesting. Reflect about those as you go throughout this week. Jot those things down and think about that. And you could choose any one of those things and make an argument. But now listen to this before I go on. And that's this. I would be more than glad to debate. Now follow what I'm getting ready to say here. I would be more than glad to debate anybody about pro-choice and pro-life. Pro-death and pro-life. I'd be more than glad to debate. Now listen to this. And even if you said to me, okay, Jay, we're going to debate this, but you cannot use any argument. Now follow what I'm saying. You cannot use any argument biblically. I'd say, oh, okay, I'd agree with that. Morally? Okay, I feel like you're tying my hands, but okay. Ethically? All right. All right, I'm not sure I like where this debate's going, but okay. Socially? Spiritually? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying somebody's getting in my face saying, I will debate you, preacher, but in this debate, you cannot use an argument biblically, morally, ethically, socially, spiritually, or psychologically. I'm telling you, if you restricted me to just one issue on the screen, just economically, I'll guarantee you I'd win the debate. If you didn't want to deal with abortion, the issue of abortion, with any of these other areas, it is a disaster for America economically. And I could easily show that to you, and I could easily argue that, and I'd win the debate, my friend, if you just restricted me to one issue economically. Unbelievable what abortion has done to this country. Any and every politician who is not emphatically pro-life should be discharged from office and should never receive the vote of a Christian believer. Every year in America, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of babies that are aborted. Since 1973 in the U.S., over 61 million. Over 61 million babies aborted. One of the most dangerous places to be in America is in the womb of an unbelieving mother. The Holocaust of abortion has become the biggest blight upon the seared conscience of our God-denying nation. What a tragedy. Now, before I go to the final point, I've got some good news for you. And some of you are sitting there thinking, wow, it's about time. Well, here it is. Here it is. I really am pleased to tell you that a report released in September of 2019, just a few months ago, stated that the U.S. abortion rate has again, in the last 2 to 3 years, it's been on this curve, has again hit an all-time low. Because states, individual states, have and are passing an unprecedented wave of bills imposing restrictions on the procedure. And Missouri's doing that as well. And you need to write your governor and you need to write your senators and representatives and let them know to keep heading in that direction. Because we are going, finally, in the right direction. And I know you've read and you've been hearing on the news. Don't you just love to watch the news? I know you've been hearing that maybe that our federal government might make an attempt to overturn Roe versus Wade. Oh, that God would withhold His judgment long enough to let us do that. I hope He does. And I hope we do as a nation to overturn it. All right, well, let me give you the final thing, and that is not only the view of life, the value of life, the violation of life, the victory of life, the victory of life. So often in Scripture, the thundering voice of judgment is followed by the loving voice of hope. And that's good. We need that in America. We need that. The thundering voice of judgment is followed by the loving voice of hope. And we need that in America. You may need it in your life today. You may need hope. You may need hope today, spiritually, emotionally. You may need hope physically or financially or family-wise. You may need hope today. And I want you to know that God stands ready to extend hope to you. We need to repent and we need to seek God's forgiveness and mercy. Go all the way back to verse 2 of this passage we've been looking at, Deuteronomy chapter 30. As Moses starts to relate this, he says in verse 2, "And shall return unto the Lord your God, and shall obey His voice according to all that I command you this day, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul." Isn't that the message that America needs to hear? We need to repent and we need to return. We need to repent and we need to return. Say that statement with me. We need to repent and we need to return. We need to return to God and to His statutes and His ways and His principles and His precepts. We need to repent and we need to return. Now, let me wrap this up, but now listen very, very carefully. I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody here in this auditorium today that you're thinking, "Oh, I wish I'd never come this morning." And that would be because you have had an abortion. I wouldn't be surprised. There might be somebody here who is the father of an aborted baby. There may be a couple here, and you're the grandparents of an aborted baby. Now listen very, very carefully. I want to say to you what you're reading on the screen. God loves you. You hear what I said? God loves you. And if you've had an abortion, and you haven't worked through it spiritually, or if a wife or a girlfriend of yours had an abortion and you haven't worked through it spiritually, or if a son or a daughter of yours was associated with an abortion and you haven't worked through it spiritually, you need to hear me say what I just said. God loves you. He does not love you any less. Are you listening to me? He does not love you any less. And read that next statement. God forgives you. See that? God forgives you. If the blood of Jesus Christ can't cover that sin, then there's no hope for me, my friend. If the blood of Jesus Christ can't cover that sin, then He's selective about what sins He died for. And He isn't. He died for sinners, and He died for the sins of sinners. Do you hear that? And His blood is sufficient to wash any sin of your life, any sin and every sin of your life, as white as snow. You hear what I'm saying? God loves you. And God forgives you. Here's another statement you need to hear. That baby's in heaven. And I can show that to you theologically. I don't have the time right here, but I can show that to you theologically. That baby that was killed in the womb is in heaven today. Oh my, I hope there's some hope swelling up within somebody today. That baby's in heaven. And again, I'd be glad to sit down with you and show you theologically how I know that. God can heal those scars. God can dry those tears. God can soothe those emotions. And God can pick up the shattered pieces of a broken life and help you rebuild. God is able. And oh, that God would help you. Oh, that God would help our church, our community. Oh, that God would help our nation to repent and to return to Him. Now, I want to close this by looking once again at the scripture that we came into this with. And that is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Do we have it there again? I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what? What? Say it again. Oh, and again, I cannot thank these six families that were gathered up here this morning enough. What a tremendous way to start our service today, my friend, on this Sanctity of Life Day, when parents, a part of this family, these individual family units said, we're choosing life. We're thankful for life. We're dedicated to life. We're dedicating these precious lives to the giver of life. Once again, give these families an applause. Come on. This is a sobering sermon, my friend, but it ought to be preached all throughout America today. The truth of God's Word about choosing life. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you that you've given us life. You've given us life, the very physical breath of life. And thank you that you have chosen to extend our life into eternity. Oh, that we might choose life. Father, I pray for America. I pray for our beloved nation. I pray that we might be convicted of how we have turned our backs on you in the area of the sanctity of life. I pray, Father, that our nation might be convicted of how we have gotten away from you and your principles and your precepts and your judgments and your statutes. We've gotten away from you. But oh, that America might be convicted and might repent and might return to the God of our forefathers, to the God of the Bible. Oh, that we might repent and return and follow hard after you. I pray for healing today for our nation. I pray for healing for individuals that are right here in under the sound of my voice. I pray, Father, for our church to be bold and strong about standing for life and standing for your word. And now, Father, minister to hearts and hurts today that have come all dressed up in Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. I pray, Father, that you would minister to their hearts today, individuals that need your healing, individuals that need hope today through Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you, Christians, I'm going to ask you to come and to kneel on an altar of prayer today, and I'm going to ask you to pray for our nation. Our nation's in trouble. And one of the classic reasons it's in trouble is because of what took place in 1973, and our nation has allowed it. I don't care if it is legal, it's wrong. It's wrong. And our nation has allowed it. Christian people have allowed it. Churches have allowed it. And I'm going to ask you to come and pray for our nation. I'm going to ask you to come and pray that someday soon that our nation would overturn that disastrous decision that was made back in 1973. You may want to come and pray for yourself. You may want to come and pray for others. You may know someone that has gone through an abortion. Maybe the mother that has gone through an abortion, the father that has gone through an abortion, grandparents or family members that have experienced that abortion circumstance. And so come and pray for them. Pray for families like you saw up on the platform today that will take a stand for life and will dedicate their children to God in a public ceremony. What a tremendous thing that is. So I'm going to ask Christians to come to the altar today. Now, if I can counsel with you personally in any way, for any reason, maybe personally that's something you've just gone through, maybe personally because you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, maybe you're ready to attach yourself to this church or follow Jesus in believer's baptism, or just some special need that you have, then I stand ready to do that. But I'm going to ask Christians to lead the way. If you can't kneel physically, then just come and pick out a spot here or on the front seat. But let's pray for America today. Out of the balcony, come. And from the back and all across our auditorium, let's pray for God to intervene. Let's stand together. Come on to the altar.
On Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.